Okay, we're recording now. Can I just get your name and position for the tape?
My name is Roy, and I am currently standing.
Radio Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio. Radio
Today. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on this week's podcast from Radio Today, the Jazz FM content director Nick Pitts is going to be on to tell us about plans for the station's 30th birthday next week and have a look back at its history. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, frequency changes for Capital and LBC, commercial radio arrives in Inverness. A long career on the BBC comes to a close for Brian Matthew, and memories as well of BBC local radio arriving in Humberside.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick
Cassidy. First, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here with me. Hi, Roy. How are you?
Hi, Stu. I'm good. How are you?
I've
not seen you for ages.
Right. I know, it must be at least 3 or 4 days. Yes, and I'm seeing you next week as well, aren't I, again at the RAs. I'm seeing you more than my own family at the moment.
Nothing wrong with that.
Quite a few stories around this week, actually. Not a lot to talk about, but some quite chunky stories. First off, some changes already at Capital Breakfast, which only went national last year, of course. Vic Hope has left the show, and she's gone already. They announced it on Monday morning, and she's already left, which suggests she's going somewhere else, does it?
Well, yeah, that was a pretty sharp exit, wasn't it? I don't know where she's going. The official comment said she's off to do more TV work. I think I read that right, and which makes sense because she does TV work already. But we've heard some rumours, not that we do rumours on this podcast,
we don't do
of
rumors.
Course.
No.
We've heard a rumour that she may be going to one other radio station, which is quite big and serves the whole of the UK. Do you have any idea which one that might be, Stuart?
I don't know what the one is that you're talking about.
We shall see. We will see what happens with that.
Yes, talking of a completely different radio station, Radio 1 ran another stunt this week. Greg James was kidnapped by, turns out, Alan Carr and Molly King after the Brits, and kept in a very expensive hotel room at the top of the Shard for a couple of nights. It's all right for some, isn't it?
This was great. I saw a headline that the BBC has spent £10,000 on a hotel room to do a stunt. License fee, payers' money and all that bollocks. But it was a good stunt. I didn't listen to a lot of it because I was out and about and not listening to the radio. Did you hear any of it, the mechanics and things like that?
A little bit. It was fairly similar kind of to the previous ones. He was locked in a room, had to work out the code, I think, to get out and unlock the padlock. I think somebody pointed out that the door was padlocked on the inside, but there was only him apparently in the room. So how did they padlock a room from the inside? But, you know, it's the magic of radio, isn't it?
Yeah. And the way it interacted with the Brits, with the red scarf and all that kind of malarkey. What a good idea that is, if you can try and take over a TV show that's not even on the BBC and get people talking about it and having to go back and watch stuff and look out for clues from a big event like that. Genius, and I'm looking forward to the next one already.
And of course, him just not turning up the morning after the Brits. Everybody thought Radio 1 Breakfast Show's been at the Brits, he's got drunk, he's not turned up, but it was all part of a plan.
Yeah, I actually put on the e-radio last week that he was, well, I tried to put that he was missing in action, but I spelt it wrong. But that was the beginning of it. Obviously, we knew something was going on. Especially as they had the cover planned and all that. So, yeah, a good stunt. I love a nice stunt.
A cunning stunt. And another week, another radio station. Absolute 20s.
Yeah, I love the roaring 20s, don't you?
No. It's 2020s. It's playing the best music from the last 2 months.
A genius idea. Whoever thought of launching this decade's radio station at the beginning of the decade instead of the end of the decade deserves a pay rise, I think. What a great idea. Nobody else is doing it. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Good.
And that's what it's about. It's about creating reach, isn't it, and creating more radio stations for people to listen to. Whether it will actually just take audience from the existing Absolute Tens and main Absolute station, or whether it will take some audience from rival brands, which I presume is the idea.
Well, it's online only. It's only costing probably one producer and a few checks to PRS, so it's not costing them much.
A PC in a rack somewhere.
Yeah, a PC in a rack. I'm sure they've got a spare one of those. And as it grows in popularity and gets a few more songs on its playlist, I'm sure it'll go on to dab and, yeah, it'd be good.
Just a couple of other things to talk about this week as well. We mentioned this previously. XS Manchester, Communicore want to change XS Manchester to Capital Extra and take a feed from London and just do a regional show. Ofcom said, oh, that's a fairly big change. Let's see what people think. And most people, it seems, think they don't want it to happen.
Yeah, so 51 people objected to this, which, of course, means only one thing, that it's going to get approved. And we can expect to see that in the next few weeks, I'm sure. Absolutely crazy, though. It puts the consultation just... What's the point? These objections are mostly just personal opinions, so Ofcom don't really care about personal opinions. They've got their checklist to follow. And as long as at least one of the criteria of the checklist is matched, then they're probably going to go ahead and do it. And as for broadening listener choice in Manchester, it does still broaden listener choice because there's no other station like Capital Extra. It's going to happen, I'd suggest.
And I think a lot of the responses I saw from the people who are not happy about it are listeners basically saying, you're telling us that Radio X is a suitable alternative to play our kind of guitar music that we like, but we think that's a pile of crap, so we don't want to listen to that, thanks. That's the basis of their complaint, isn't it?
Yeah, and as a former producer at rock radio as it was, it's a million miles away from Radio X, so I don't know how they can compare it. I mean, they should compare it more with Planet Rock or something like that, but obviously they were comparing FM stations in Manchester, so... Yeah, it's sad that the adult rock station for Manchester will go, but it's equally as exciting that Manchester will get Capital Extra. It's just obviously targeting different listeners.
I guess we're still waiting for Ofcom to finally say, yes, we're going to approve this, though. They haven't done that yet, have they?
Yeah, they haven't. By the time this gets listened to, maybe they will, but I think it's... I'd put money on it. If I was a betting man... I put money on it.
I've seen what you've put money on. I'm not sure about that, to be honest.
Well, Amazon shares. Yeah, don't do that.
And we're well into awards season now. The Sports Journalism Awards took place this week. Various wins for Five Live and Talk Sport, mainly in the broadcast categories. The Young Audio Award nominations, that's what was the Young Arias. The full list of nominations are out now at radiotoday.co.uk. The event there happening on the 27th of March at the BBC Radio Theatre. The IRN Awards are the day before that on the 26th at Sky HQ in West London. Also at the end of March, it's Radio Days Europe in Lisbon. Still chance to get a ticket for that, and lots of great speakers and workshops and things going on in Lisbon over a few days at the end of March, beginning of April. And next week, it's the ARIAs, the Radio Awards. We haven't had a Radio Awards for about, 15 months or something now?
Oh, yeah. There wasn't one last year. Don't know what happened. So looking forward to that. There's also the Global Awards taking place the day after the ARIAs. So two awards in 2 days. Going to be busy.
It's all about the awards, really, isn't it? I know you love awards.
Yeah, I hate awards. I mean, I'll go for a free glass of Diet Coke, but don't get me started.
Sorry, we'll get you started. Certainly not the week before the ARIAs, anyway. But yeah, the ARIAs next week, if you're there, we will be there. And we'll hopefully be hearing from some winners on the podcast in a couple of weeks' time as well. Thank you, Roy. Nice to catch up again. I'll see you next week.
See you next Tuesday.
Wednesday.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. David Lloyd still to come here on the Radio Today programme. I'm going to try and beat him at his own game this week, though. So let's go back to March 1990.
102.2 Jazz FM, the jazz station, with Chris Phillips and Jez Nelson playing you some bad tunes.
London's new Jazz FM station began broadcasting earlier this month. The station's co-founder, Dave Lee, explained why he thought now was a good time to start.
Something new has happened in this town because young people have turned to jazz. We have bebop discos. We have young DJs like Giles Peterson who have created, maybe he did it, I don't know, but he certainly reflects an enormous interest among young people. So we're going to have to cover the age groups from maybe 17 to about 77, from country blues right across to the most avant-garde jazz.
See, it was all about attracting the young audiences back then, even 30 years ago. Jazz FM, born originally 102.2 in London. That's now Smooth, of course, had a few iterations. The name has survived in one shape or form for the last 30 years. And the man in charge of programmes for the last seven is content director Nick Pitts. Welcome to the Radio Today programme, Nick.
Hello, Stu. How are you?
I'm all right. So
it's lovely hearing that. It's lovely hearing jazz in his infancy.
Yes. And Giles Peterson's on that clip a little bit later as well. Yeah. And he sounds so young as well. But I think you've been there, what, 12 years now? So nearly half the life of the station. You started out there as a producer.
I started just before it relaunched as a digital station in October 2008. And I've been here ever since. Very loyal, enjoying it thoroughly, and very lucky to be leading it as it turns 30 next Wednesday, the 4th of March.
And I mentioned the kind of various iterations. Obviously, it was the London FM licence originally, mm-hmm. and I think it took a long time to get it on the air from its initial kind of planning before that. But that got turned into Smooth after, I think, about 15 years. But it carried on. GMG kept it as an online station and then as a digital station. And since then, it went national, as you say. And then I think it went back to London only, and then it went national again. What's the kind of thing about Jazz FM that makes it keep surviving?
I think because of the fact it is, it understands that it is I don't want to use the word specialist station, but it is a specialist station. And it understands that that's what it is, and it doesn't try to be anything other than that. When it's tried to be more, that's when it's come into problems. But I believe that we have a very, very loyal audience, and that really helps as well. I mean, as you mentioned, we launched in 2008 as a DAB regional, then we went national, then we went back to London only and online, and then we went back national, and our audience barely moved. So we have a very loyal audience, because what we've found is if you play jazz, you're Jazz FM. If you don't, you're not Jazz FM. It's confusing, and that's when you have problems with your audience and revenues.
Yeah, and you've still got, just under 600,000 listeners on the weekly reach as well. It was interesting in that clip from 1990 that they were talking about getting young listeners, because young, trendy people in London were listening to jazz. I guess those people who are now 50, 60 are still listening, but are you getting the younger audiences as well into jazz?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, jazz as a music, as an art form, has never been stronger. It's going through a bit of a resurgence at the moment, thanks to people like Gregory Porter and Jamie Cullum bringing it to life as well. And there are organisations around the UK like Nijo and Tomorrow's Warriors who are championing new jazz artists coming through, and they get daytime, weekend, overnight exposure on Jazz FM 24/7. And we created the Jazz FM Awards 7 years ago now to celebrate that new jazz that's coming through. It's phenomenal stuff. The artists that are performing today are more inventive and creative than ever before, and I'm pleased that we can support them.
I think with like country music, we've got three or four country stations now on traditional radio, whether they're on analog or digital. But with jazz, there was a time when Jazz FM, I think, was online only or digital only, and the jazz came up as a competitor from GCAP's time. People might remember that. But we haven't really had a rival to Jazz FM. Is that because you're doing it so well, or is there not a market for more jazz stations?
Well, one would hope that the answer is because we're doing it so well. And actually, if you think about it, we became part of Bauer Media 18 months ago, and Bauer, as we know, launched stations and brands themselves. So the fact that they acquired Jazz FM, to me, says that rather than trying it themselves, there is a bunch of people who do it, who hopefully are doing it brilliantly, and therefore there's no need to create another. And our job is to just try and hit as many people as possible with this amazing content. Yeah, there was a time when there was the jazz there, and that was in that kind of that handover period of GCAP and then of Global. And at that point, if I recall, Jazz FM was an online brand, and I think it was on a DAB somewhere up north in Scotland. It wasn't a massive listening opportunity at that moment in time, so the jazz was created when D1 was sort of coming to the fore.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people from Jazz FM, presenters-wise, went to the jazz and then came back as well, didn't they? So that those kind of heritage jazz broadcasters, a lot of which have been on Jazz FM since day one, are still around.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Phillips, Helen Mayhew were both presenters on the jazz, but they're both still with Jazz FM today, doing great programmes, as is Jez Nelson, who's still on the station. And then, you know, there's a handful of people who started a year or so later, Sarah Ward, David Freeman, Mark Walker, all still with the station today, still broadcasting on a weekly or nightly basis.
You mentioned obviously the takeover by Bauer 18 months ago now. Other than moving buildings, has much changed having a new owner, a different owner?
There's more opportunity for us. Commercially, it's very helpful to be part of a large family. But from a creative point of view, we've been incredibly lucky. Not one point has anyone suggested anything other than just do what you do. So the team are the same. We're doing what we were doing in our Margaret Street days. There has been very, very little change, and any of that change has come direct from us as a team. It's been a really, really good situation to be part of.
It's good to hear. So you've got the big birthday coming up next week, and you're doing sort of celebrations right through the year as well, aren't you? All sorts of things going on.
So yeah, we decided that we would celebrate this milestone year for a year, because there aren't those many nationally known brands out there that get to this age. So what we've been doing is we're doing it in a sort of two-way approach. Every Saturday evening, we've stripped out an hour for the entire of the year for 52 weeks, and we're creating unique content or series to go in that slot over the year. So far we've raided the archive for some interviews with some of our superstars of jazz. We've had people like Hugh Masekela, Sir Van Morrison in there. We've also had those three original presenters I mentioned, Helen, Chris and Jez, do an hour each called My Jazz FM, just talking about the first day on air and playing music from their first shows and just giving us some anecdotes. So that was right at the start of the year. And then throughout the year as we go on, we've got some audio content fund programming coming on. We've got a jazz drama. So we've got a five-part series that we're working with Spark Labs on to create these five stories around three characters, three very well-known superstars of jazz. We've got a 10-part series later on in the year with Made in Manchester, the definitive guide to jazz in Britain. Plus, we're creating our own content. We've got classic album playbacks in front of live audiences with experts listening back to albums, talking about the pieces of music. We've got Marcus Brigstock returning to do a series called The Jazz Family Tree. So we're really, really going for it, because we believe that the really important thing at the centre of Jazz FM, and it's really important not to take your mind off of it, because this is what we're about. It's about the music and the musicians that made us famous. So all of those programmes are going to be based around that theme. It's all about the songs, it's all about the music, it's all about the musicians and artists. And then on the day itself, We've got a whole special schedule for the day, which will start. We launched at 6 o'clock. Would you like to hear how we launched at 6 o'clock?
Oh, have you got the launch audio?
I have the full launch audio. I'm not going to give you that now, but I'm going to give you something you're going to love. Oh. The jingle that launched Jazz FM.
Wow,
who would have thought?
We love that. We love jazz jingles.
I thought you'd appreciate that. So we'll do a little moment at 6 o'clock. We've got the business breakfast, which is on every day, our half-hour business briefing, which will have Michael Wilson and the veteran commentator David Buick. They will be reflecting on the changes and trends of three decades of business, economic and political news.
That'll be a short programme.
I don't know. The political side, maybe not. Diana Luke was our first presenter on Jazz FM. She was the breakfast show host. She's coming back for one day. She's going to be co-hosting the breakfast show with Nigel Williams for the day, so that should be exciting. Throughout the day, we've got some special guests joining us. Shabaka Hutchins, Tomorrow's Warriors legends Gary Crosby and Janine Irons. And Robbie Vincent will be returning to have a conversation with Jamie Crick about his thoughts and love of Jazz FM, which are still strongly there as well. We'll also be playing in Dinner Jazz and Jazz FM's Greatest. So as we go into our stranded programming in the evening, we're going to make sure that those reflect it. So Jazz FM's Greatest, which is an hour of the great music of our genre, is going to be all music from the first day. Dinner Jazz will go to Carnegie Hall in New York on the 4th of March 1990, where Cats, our founders, John Dankworth and Cleo Lane, were performing, and we have a recording from that performing as well. And then at 9 o'clock, the big programme that we've got on for 1 hour is called Our First Day. And this is amazing stuff. We've been in conversation with the British Library, who have content from Our First Day, so we will be condensing the first day of audio of Jazz FM into 1 hour. So you will hear from Diana Luke, George Reed interviewing Ella Fitzgerald. You'll hear Chris Phillips, who was there on the first day. You'll hear Peter Young, R.I.P. Peter Young. You'll hear Helen Mayhew. You'll hear Malcolm Laycock. You'll hear Jez Nelson, as well as old commercials from the day, interviews on the day as well, even some more lovely, wonderful old jingles as well from the day. And the music will be the music that we played on the first day as well.
Wow, it's great that you've got so much archive, given the fact that the station's changed hands so many times over the year as well.
We have quite a healthy archive of the very early years here, but I was contacting the British Library, so they have a project called Save Our Sounds, and I was talking to a guy called Paul Wilson there, and he sent me a lot of great, amazing stuff that they have in the archive there. It's been digitised. It was left by a radio enthusiast called Phil Cox, who passed in 92, and they got loads of cassettes from him, and he'd recorded the first 2 days of Jazz FM. And then after that in the evening, Jez Nelson presents a programme called Something Else. It's also the name of his incredibly successful production company. But
there.
It started off as a programme that he and Chris Phillips created within the first few weeks of Jazz FM. So they're going to co-present that together, a special live edition of that with more guests and, you know, the two of them acting like they're teenagers again from 10 o'clock until midnight. So it's a very full day of some amazing programming that hopefully, you know, we'll pay homage to Jazz FM 30 years ago, but it will still absolutely celebrate jazz today.
Wow. You've been busy.
Just a little.
And not only that, but as we mentioned before, you've got your awards coming up as well. Again, say you started them in 2013, but they're back for 2020 at the end of May, aren't they?
End of May, 27th of May, Shoreditch Town Hall, a night of celebration of just some amazing new jazz that's around the world at the moment. And we'll be doffing the cap to a few legends along the way as well. Yeah, it should be another amazing evening.
Fantastic. And what's your hope for Jazz FM moving on after the 30th year? Obviously growing audience, growing listening hours, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day, we are a commercial operation and, you know, we've been very lucky that we've been here for 30 years and I want that to continue for as long as possible and we need to grow our audience. But I think we're absolutely in the right place to be able to do that.
Fantastic. Great to chat to you, Nick. Thank you for coming on.
Appreciate it, Stu. Thank you very much.
And happy birthday. Well, not to you, obviously, but, you know.
Well beyond 30, love.
That's Nick Pitts, the content director from Jazz FM. Just ahead of David Lloyd's Radio Moments, a reminder to try out CleanFeed if you haven't yet. It's the solution you might just be looking for to help with that OB or sorting out the connection for your podcast. CleanFeed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It lets you connect in decent quality just using a browser and a computer at either end. No fancy hardware required. It's really simple to use. You can even do all the recording for your podcast guests right within the web browser. Give it a go for yourself and see what the quality is like. There's a completely free version, or you can upgrade for some extra features. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
When Capital and LBC launched in London, they couldn't use their proper AM frequencies thanks to a planning complication at the transmitter site. So they had temporary wavelengths, 417 and 539.
For Capital Radio, dial 539. The station what is simply super rooty. Amen.
But it was this week in 75 they moved their famous 194 and 261.
You're listening on the wavelength which until recently temporarily carried the medium wave service of Capital Radio, the independent local radio, general and entertainment service for the London area. You may like to know that Capital Radio medium wave service is now available only on the new wavelength, 194 metres. That's 1,546 kilohertz. The VHF service remains on 95.8 megahertz. This is the engineering information service of the Independent Broadcasting Authority.
Capital and LBC moving 45 years ago this week from their temporary transmitters at the Lotts Road power station in Chelsea, where they used an aerial dangling from chimneys. It was that same week, in 1975, that MPs voted at last to allow Commons proceedings to be broadcast on radio.
This is BBC Radio 4. We now join the BBC's political editor, David Holmes, for the historic first live transmission to the nation of the proceedings of the House of Commons.
This is David Holmes in the chamber of the House of Commons, waiting for an afternoon of what could be absorbing political interest, waiting for that to begin. Question time with Mr. Tony Benn and his Department of Industry team in just under 10 minutes from now. Then at 3:20, the Attorney General, Mr. Sam Silkin, will be answering. And then about 3:30, the Prime Minister will report on the referendum outcome and its consequences, with the House questioning him fairly closely after that. So it's a special day for us broadcasters in Parliament, and perhaps MPs feel that too.
A rather familiar topic in the eventual first broadcast from the House of Commons, approved by MPs this week 45 years ago. 1982 now, and good news for Inverness.
Hello, I'm Dave Cochran. I'll be here every morning, Monday to Friday, for the breakfast show. And it's really great to have you along on Murrayforth Radio. And the message in Barbara Dixon's record really sums it all up for today and for the rest of your life on Murrayforth Radio. Take good care.
On paper, it was disastrous and was not viable. And I think the IBA knew that. It was covering a massive area for a local radio station. I mean, it would take you the medium wave signal at night time reaching from Wick in the far north, which is effectively John O'Groats, to Fraserburgh at the other end of the Murray Firth. At least a 4-hour car journey, and then was 5 hours because the bridge didn't exist that links. Under 200,000 people, I think, in the patch. And nobody believed really that this was viable.
Thomas Prague reflecting on the launch of MFR this week 38 years ago, and it continues to this day. Ed Stewart was the defining voice of the weekend Junior Choice programme on Radio 1. He started his regular spell this week in 1968.
Always a favourite on Junior Choice, Neil Sedaka there, and happy birthday, Sweet 16. Now, we've got an anniversary to commemorate now. Mr and Mrs Jeffrey of Willow Way, Ferndown in Dorset, that's Nana and Grandad. Congratulations to you. It's your Ruby wedding anniversary today. Here on Radios 1 and 2, you're listening to Junior Choice, with the time coming up to 9:30. It's news time now with Julian Potter.
Ed Stewart, who began his Junior Choice days this week 52 years ago. That was the programme that had been children's favourites in the light programme days, changed as Radio 1 began. Brian Matthew died in 2017, and it was this week 3 years ago that his last show was aired.
That 1962 top five hit by Billy Fury brings me to the end of my reign as presenter of Sounds of the 60s, and I must say I've enjoyed every minute of my 27 years in this chair, and I'm saddened to leave. But I'll be back on Radio 2 in the near future with something new, so keep your eyes open for further information. And this is your old mate Brian Matthew saying, that's your lot for this week. See you again soon.
Brian Matthew's last words on the BBC. He'd been there since 1954. This week in 1971, Radio Humberside launched officially, but the story was a little more complex than that.
Radio Humberside, BBC.
Day one was a bit of a variable feast because the country was in some difficulty around about that time. We were having rotated power cuts due to industrial action and problems the government were having and so on and so forth. The upshot of it all was that the power was going off to people's houses. It was being switched off for considerable periods of each day. Now, we had not officially come on air. I think the official launch date was February, but all this was happening, and we thought, well, we can't sit by and let the people of Humberside sit in darkness when we could do something to help. So I remember very distinctly we decided we would come on air early, which we did by several, well, I think it was about a couple of months.
This is BBC Radio Humberside on Rediffusion Channel B with a special news and information service.
The power situation. For the last 3 hours, Paul Heine of Radio Humberside has been in the emergency operations room of the Yorkshire Electricity Board in Ferensway, Hull. From the YEB headquarters, he reports now.
The latest information is that the following areas are still...
The launch of Radio Humberside 49 years ago. So, with the end of the pirate Britain Radio 53 years ago...
Like a quality Britain Radio...
Bright new sounds of
Radio Britain coming your
and
way.
And Sue McGregor's last Radio 4 Today programme 18 years ago.
It's 6 o'clock on Thursday the 22nd of August. Good morning. This is Today with Brian Redhead and Sue McGregor.
Those are this week's Radio Moments. And finally, as we approach all those landmark 100-year anniversaries of radio, it was this week, a century ago, that broadcasting tests began from the Marconi Company's New Street factory in Chelmsford. Two daily experimental half hours of speech, music and news. And I'll be reflecting, actually, on 100 years of radio at an event at Berg House in Hampstead. That's on March the 4th. Be great to see you there if you're a regular listener. Information and tickets at radiomoments.com.
There's the commercial plug. Thanks, David. And Roy and my guest, Nick Pitts from Jazz FM. I hope you enjoyed our little experimental half hour-ish of speech. It's what Marconi would have wanted. Next time it's the Radio Today Roundtable for March, so be sure to join us as Trevor Dan is joined by some top guests to discuss the big talking points in our industry and share some of their favourite bits of audio as well. That's next time here on the Radio Today programme.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassio.